Okay, so for the last few weeks, the last 3 weeks, we have talked about... this is too hot. You got to bring that down. That's too much. I can hear myself breathing. Okay, so 2 weeks ago, we talked about release the overwhelm. And so we spend so much of our lives, like, bound up in overwhelm, bound up in... You know, just the stuff of life, the stuff that gets at us when we let it bog us down. You know, our jobs, our bosses, our kids, our family, our whatever. We just get bogged up and stay tied up in all of this stuff all the time. And so we learned a couple of weeks ago how to let that go and let the Lord do what He's going to do. And so we learned, you know, You can prayer, and through thankfulness and prayer, you can genuinely have peace that protects you from that sort of thing. And then last week, we learned that you're not in control, right? You can't control things in your life. Your life is going to go on, and you can't control the people around you. You're not in control. You're just not. And so there's no reason of trying to be in control to just, remember we put up the picture of the two dogs and you know, the one dog was all tense and trying to fight the relax. And, you know, in essence, you know, I think a lot of us, we want to be comforted on our terms. God, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to be in control while you comfort me. Like, that's not what the Lord's looking for. He wants somebody who's just, will just lay back in His arms and say, okay, let's do this. And so if these things are true, if we can release the overwhelm and we are not in control, that ultimately God is in control, then that allows us to be bold in our faith. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is just how to be bold. Because when you, well, I don't want to ruin my, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Okay, so we're going to look at some bold guy in the Old Testament here. Okay, Elijah. No, that's not. Okay, what is happening here? Because this is too much. All right. So Elijah, we're going to read about him in 1 Kings 18. All right. So let me start with the story. All right. So Elijah was basically the only prophet left in all of Israel. You may remember King David had the whole kingdom, right? He was a good king. And then his son ran the whole kingdom. Well, when Solomon died, the kingdom split into two chunks, Judah and Israel. So when we say Israel, it's not talking about the whole kingdom of Israel. It's talking about Israel, like the chunk that was led by, I believe, Jeroboam. Was that the first king of Israel? Anyway, and so now the king of Israel is a guy named Ahab, and he is, he's terrible. He's terrible. He is not following the example of David. He's doing, he's worshiping Baal. His wife is this terrible witch lady. And so they've basically killed all the prophets of the Lord in Israel. God had enough, so he told Elijah to pray that it's not going to rain. And so it doesn't rain for like 3 years. So Ahab, the king at the time, is trying to kill Elijah because he blames him for it not raining. So he's tried to kill Elijah on many occasions, and we sort of catch up to the story where Elijah is going to meet with King Ahab. So we talk about this morning, we're talking about being bold. This is a bold move right here. So we're going to pick up this story in verse 16 of 1 Kings 18. Right in the 16th, where I'm going to start? Yes. So Obadiah went to tell Ahab that Elijah had come, and Ahab went out to meet Elijah. When Ahab saw him, he exclaimed, "So it really is you, you troublemaker of Israel." "I have made no trouble for Israel," Elijah replied. "You and your family are the troublemakers. You have refused to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshipped the images of Baal instead. Now summon all of Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who are supported by Jezebel." Jezebel was his wife. Okay, so now we talk about being bold. King Ahab is probably standing there with several guys, his royal guard or whatever, who have swords. And King Ahab has been wanting to kill Elijah for like a long time. And so here Elijah shows up in his face, and not only shows up in his face, but he also wags his finger in the king's face. I've made no trouble for Israel, he says. You and your family are the troublemakers. You have refused to obey the commandments of the Lord. And, like, that's a pretty bold move, right? I'm assuming Elijah didn't have a sword. I'm assuming Elijah didn't have a royal guard protecting him. I'm assuming he's just standing there, like, right? But, you know, he was bold in that he knew the Lord was going to protect him in this moment. And so I think that that type of boldness is available to us. So now as we go further into the story, we'll see that Elijah sets up this competition between God and Baal. So he invites all the prophets of Baal to come, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to set up two altars. You have your altar, and I'll have mine. We'll cut up a couple of bulls, and we'll put them on there, and then the first God who can bring down fire from heaven is the real God, and we'll worship him. And so the prophets of Baal are like, okay, let's do it. So Elijah's like, go first. So they go first. They chop up their bull. They do the whole thing. And so they spend all day trying to get Baal to rain fire from heaven. But the problem is Baal's not real, so he doesn't do that. So they chant and they sing and they cut themselves. At one point, Elijah starts making fun of them. Maybe your God's on vacation. Maybe he's going to the bathroom. I mean, it really says that. Maybe your God is going to the bathroom. Maybe your God is he's asleep and you need to chant louder to wake him up, right? He starts poking them. And, like, which is another, if we're just being honest, here's another bold move. These guys have things because the Bible says they cut themselves to bleed for Baal or whatever. So they got swords. They got something sharp at least. And here Baal is like, or here Elijah is poking him, like, you know, try harder. So that's a bold move there. He was around a lot of unsafe moments. Anyway, so, and that doesn't work. Baal never shows up because Baal's not real. He's not real in your life either. So then Elijah was like, okay, my turn. So he chops up his bull and he puts it on his altar. And he's like, okay, guys, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put water on my altar. And they're like, okay. They put water on the altar. No, more water. Okay, we'll put more water on. No, a lot of water. Put a lot of water. So the whole thing is just drenched in water. It says that there's a trench around it, and it's all filled with water. So if you're wanting to start a fire, what's one thing you don't want? Water. Okay, so he put water on it, and a lot of water on the altar. Okay, now we're going to catch up with the story again in verse 36. At the usual time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, O God, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all of this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so that the people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have brought them back to yourself. Immediately, fire from the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, the dust. It even licked up the water in the trench. This is an incredible story. So Baal never showed up, so Elijah had his turn. Now he walks. Here's another thing that I think was incredibly bold. It says, at the usual time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar. Now, this is Elijah who's expecting fire to fall from heaven. And it's a pretty bold move to get closer to it. It says he walked up to it. So if the altar's here, he walked up to it. Now, I don't know how close he got, but that's a bold move to get closer to it where you're expecting fire to fall. Like if you remember Sodom and Gomorrah, like it was raining sulfur and fire and whatever. Like you don't want to be close to that. So, and I would assume Elijah knew that story. And, you know, in my mind's eye, in my imagination, I had heard this story before. I always sort of imagined this to be like this massive bolt of lightning, right? But when you look up the word fire in the Hebrew, it's fire. So I'm going to go with it was fire because that's what seems to make sense. But as you know, if you want to get closer, like lightning doesn't fall straight, right? It's not like, so you know, like I think if this were me, then at the usual time for the evening sacrifice, Jared backed up from the altar and prayed from a distance, right? But that's a bold. He was so confident in the Lord that he wasn't going to get cooked in this altar or in this fire that he walked up closer to the altar. Now, Elijah wins it, or the Lord wins the day. They kill a bunch of prophets and so on and so forth. And so what an amazing story this is. What an amazing story this is to be that bold in his faith. He was confident in what God was going to do. So, how do we get confident like that? How do we do that? All right, so I'm going to tell you. So I'm going to read you three verses here. Psalms chapter 37, verse 4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all of these things will be added to you. And then John chapter 14, 15, and 16. I don't know if you ever looked at that. You know how in the Sermon on the Mount, it starts in Matthew chapter 5, and like all the words are read for like two or three pages, right? That's Matthew 5, 6, and 7, something like that. John 14, 15, 16 is similar. It's like all the words are read. Now, five times in those three chapters, five times, Jesus said, ask anything in my name, and I will give it to you. If you ask it in my name, I'll give it to you. Anything in my name. Five times he said that. So let's walk through each of these scriptures a little bit. Okay, Psalms chapter 37, verse 4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. So, the Lord cheats. Okay, I'm just gonna put that out there. All right, when you take delight in the Lord, all right, then he makes your desires his desires. So, like, this scripture is totally correct, and it's 100% true, but it's God cheats a little bit, because when you're like, God, I want these things, but I want you more, And so the more and more you get to know the Lord, the more and more he changes your heart and changes your heart until all of a sudden you're over here, and you're like, hey, what I really want is this, which is what, and then he gives it to you, which is what he wanted to give it to you all along. That's what he wanted to do the whole time, was give you this. This was the whole plan always. When you were over here, he was like, start delighting in me and I'll give you what you want. And then by the time you're over here, you forgot you even wanted that, right? That's not what I want anymore. Now I want this. And the Lord is happy to give it to you because it's what he wanted all along. So here's a little story. When I was a young man in my early 20s, I was passionate for the Lord, and I never had any desire to be married. I didn't want wife or kids. I didn't want a mortgage. I wanted to live in my one bedroom apartment with my yard sale furniture. And when the Lord said, let's go to Bolivia, let's go. I'll park my car somewhere, give up that lease, and be gone. That's how I wanted to live my life. But the Lord told me early on that he wanted me to be married. And praise the Lord for that, right? Have you met my wife? She's wonderful, right? I mean, she really is. And so now I have children, and they're wonderful. Being a family man, it suits me so well. I love my wife and like, so here, this is another side story. I shouldn't bother telling this story, but I'm gonna. When I was a single man, and I knew that the Lord was gonna want me to get married, then I started pursuing different ladies. Anyway, one of those ladies was Shannon. She won the battle for my heart. They weren't really lining up, though. It wasn't a big battle. Okay, anyway, so how your mail comes in or whatever, you kind of throw it on the counter. Well, I would just throw it all on the counter, and so it would just, I had this big mound of mail on the, and the water bill and the electric bill, whenever they came in, if they were blue, you were on time. If they were pink, you were late. And I only bothered to pay the pink ones because, like, they don't cut you off until the pink one's not paid, right? So I figured, why bother writing the extra checks, okay? So Shannon straightened all that out. She, like, the first time she came into my house and she saw that, she just, she still talks about it to this day. I can't believe that pile of mail he had laying there and that he only paid his bills whenever they were past due. But they never cut off my water. I'll say that. So my system worked, but it's not a good system. It's not a good system. Nonetheless, what a mess I would be without what the Lord really wanted for me. I started to delight myself in the Lord. You know, I told him, I want to be single. And I delight myself in him, and I delight myself in him, and I delight myself in him. And the more and more I get over here, and then I'm like, yeah, Lord, I see it. I want a wife. I understand. I get it. And so praise the Lord for that, because my wife is the single greatest influence on my life, and she is genuinely wonderful. And if you don't know her, you should. She's awesome. Okay. Now, let's move on to the next one. All right, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. Okay, so all these things are what it was talking about earlier in the verses. It's talking about the stuff that you need, right? Shelter, clothing, food, water, stuff you need. In America today, one might argue that you need a car to get along, right? In America today, one might argue you need toilet paper. One might argue that you need electricity. You need a phone. One might argue that you need a phone in America's today. So when you seek first the kingdom of heaven, then the stuff that you need is guaranteed in him. He guarantees you to give you the stuff that you need. All right, so here's another story. When we left here 7 years ago, We didn't want to go. I told you that a few weeks ago. We did not want to move. We wanted to stay here. But we were obedient, and we followed the Lord. And so we're seeking him first. And we dealt with, I'm not somebody who deals with a lot of fear. Like, I don't deal in fear a lot. But that move, getting from Lafayette to Hopkinsville, like, Shannon and I both, we dealt in a lot of fear over that decision. In fact, there was that, I don't remember the name of the song now, but there was that song that sort of became our anthem. It was about not having fear. And so we dealt with a lot of fear in that way. And but what happened was we had a house that we loved, that we genuinely loved here in Lafayette. And we were afraid that we were going to have to buy something crummy down there, or that we would have to rent or whatever. And so just the needs stuff, like just a house to live in. And the Lord worked it out in this amazing way where we closed on our house here December the 19th and closed on our house there on December the 20th. We only had to spend one night with my grandmother, and it was wonderful. Like, it worked out. The Lord put it together so wonderfully. And that time there in Hopkinsville was very, very good for us. It really was. It's not something I necessarily wanted to do, but it was very, very good for us. And I'll leave that alone. So then when it came time to move back here, I don't deal in any fear because I saw the Lord come through, right? Like, when we were moving from here to there, I was all this fear because of how am I going to work it out? How am I going to control the situation? So then I saw the Lord come through and give me this awesome house and all that awesome land that we had. And then coming back here, I don't have to worry. I don't have to deal in fear because I've seen him do it. That's what happened with Elijah. He's seen the Lord do stuff. So when the Lord told him to go and do this thing, then he went and did that thing, and it was awesome. And so the Lord kept coming through. So Elijah was willing to go to Ahab and say, let's have this competition, big boy, because he'd seen the Lord come through. That's why his prayer is not full of exclamation points like, Lord, please do this for me. He was confident, Lord, do this thing. And then the thing happened. And that's how we get bold in our faith, is because we see God come through. And if you've never really tried that, then you should. Start putting some stuff out and start praying for the Lord to come through in certain ways, and he will. Look at the next scriptures is John 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you. Now, we have to be careful here. The Lord's not going to give you sinful stuff, okay? Like, the Lord's not, Lord, please help me cheat on my wife. Nope, that's not working. That's not, the Lord's not going to give you, but like, you know, I told you a few weeks ago, several of you have asked for reconciliation. And if you add in sort of the prodigal lifestyle of people that you're praying for in your life, that's like probably 70% of the prayer requests that I get in this room are about some reconciliation with some family member or some sort of prodigal situation going on in your lives. So really, like, you all, almost all of you have that in common. Like, I'm not trying to just put that out there, but you're not alone in that situation. Okay, so I'm not trying to put your business out there, but that's what a lot of you are praying for. And so here's the thing. God wants that. He wants reconciliation. God wants the prodigal to return. So you can pray it boldly. You can pray it with fervor. You can pray it because the Lord wants to do it. Right? If you and the same, it same works for your needs. The Lord wants to give you. So you have a need, then tell the Lord what it is, and He wants to come through for you in that way. That's how good our God really is. He wants to do this stuff. So that's how Elijah can go, because he's seen the Lord do it, and it works the same way in your life. Start praying it, and it comes, and He will come through for you. It gives you freedom to be bold in what to ask for. So here's another scripture. Let's see. James chapter 5, verse 13. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. The earnest prayer of a righteous person produces awesome stuff. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, I ain't righteous. And you're right. You're not. Your righteousness is as filthy rags, is what the Bible tells us. But here's the awesome part of this, is that we can pray this stuff in confidence, in boldness, in faith. We can pray this. We can pray it in Jesus' name. We can ask for the stuff that we need. We can ask for this reconciliation because His righteousness has been applied to us. Because your righteousness is nothing. Your righteousness is no good. His righteousness, like, it's sort of like you have this righteousness credit card, and you're just swiping it in Jesus' name. It's Jesus' card, and you're just swiping it. Like, you get to use His righteousness every time you pray for these things. And so you get to pray and ask for stuff, and God will come through, based on Jesus' righteousness. This is really good news. You guys are just like, no, this is really good news, right? We spend so much of our lives bound up, right? And what I'm trying to do this morning is give you freedom to not be bound up anymore. You have freedom to see that mountain like we sang about in the next to last song. You see that mountain and you can, God is greater than it. He sees the whole mountain. He sees this side and these sides. He sees the whole mountain, and He's giving you freedom to get over that mountain based on His scriptures, stuff that He wants for you. So when it comes to reconciliation, you can't do it. You can't. You can't bring about reconciliation, but God can. You can't bring about, you can't bring the prodigal to his senses, but God can. So what can you do? You can delight yourself in the Lord. You can seek Him first. You can ask in His name. And you can earnestly pray. Borrow Jesus' righteousness, and it will produce wonderful results. I just don't think you're praying enough. That sounds terrible. I think what you need to do is put oomph, put prayer, put boldness behind your, or put faith behind your prayer. Put your boldness behind your prayer. God, I'm asking for this because I know you want it. The Bible would tell us that the wicked flee when no one pursues. This is Proverbs chapter 28. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as lions. Are you the righteousness? Are you the righteous? Yes, because you got Jesus's righteousness strapped on like a backpack. You have his righteousness. And so don't flee when no one pursues. Be bold. Go into your prayer closet bold before the Lord. And I know you feel beat up and yucky, right? Because you know your sin, right? You know you live with yourself all the time, and you know how much you sin, and you know God asks you to do something and you don't do it, and or God tells you not to do something and you do it, and it's and you know how yucky you are. But God knows how yucky you are too, and he puts his righteousness around you. You still get to pray. The Bible tells us that we're allowed to, in Hebrews, I think it's 4:13. That's not right. It's in Hebrews. That we can boldly come before the throne. Because Jesus was tempted and tested the same way we are, then we can boldly come to his throne. You're allowed to be bold. You're allowed to come to his throne room. God, I'm this yucky mess, but you love me anyway. And God, I need reconciliation with my family. I need the prodigal to come home. I need a car, Father. I need a new house. I need you to protect my kids. I need a new job. And the Lord wants to do these things for you. He wants to. And so this morning, let's do the thing. So this morning, let's be bold. Let's stop like being overwhelmed. Let's stop trying to control our environment. Let's just relax in the Lord. Let him comfort you the way he wants to comfort you. And then let's go boldly before the throne. Right? I know you're yucky. I know you're sinful. Look, here's the secret. I'm yucky. I'm sinful. Just because I'm up here teaching doesn't mean I'm any more like awesome. No, it's not. So let's take this moment and let's be bold before the Lord. Okay, I know God is calling you guys. I know God is calling you guys. He's dealing with your hearts. I know God is telling you it's time to stop trying to control your situation. It's time to let go and to let me do the thing. I know it's time. I know the Lord is dealing with you. And so real quick before we move into this, like, I feel like the Lord is dealing with somebody on salvation this morning. Somebody in this room has never given their life to Jesus ever. Okay? This is your moment. God is dealing with you. And so, you know, it's just a matter of putting your faith in Jesus, and I can explain all that to you if you want. And I know that the Lord is dealing with some of you. You're trying to control your situation, and the Lord is saying, finally, stop. Stop trying to control your situation. Stop trying to control your world. I can do it. I can order your house for you. And so this morning what we're going to do is I'm going to invite you to stand and sing. And if you want to come up here for salvation, then you come on. I will help lead you there. If you don't like me, that's fine. Go to whoever you came with. My wife would be happy to pray with you. If you're like, it's time to stop trying to control my situation, it's time to be bold, then I would say be bold, stand up and walk up here and say, Father, from now on, I'm giving you reins. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to do it your way. This is your altar call. This is your chance to let go. This is your chance to let go. So I'm going to pray for you. And then we're going to pray. And also, if you want to join our church, and I've had several questions about that. If you want to join our church, you come see me up here, and we'll get you worked out. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you, and we surrender ourselves to you this morning. God, we have tried to control this thing for far too long, but God, you are ultimately in control. You're the one. So, Lord, let lead us into you. God, help us to follow you, to surrender to you, God, and to let go. And to let go and just let you do what you're going to do. God, to be bold in our faith before you. God, we give you these next few minutes in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You guys can stand and sing with us.
Keeper of the day and the night, holder of the sun and the sky, you command the waters and the wind. There's not one thing you're not greater than. Greater than the mountain that's in front of me. You are greater, so much greater. Greater than the power of the enemy. You are greater, so much greater. Faithful over all my days. Faithful over all my days. God above the storms that I face. My hope is in your name and nothing less. There's not one thing you're not greater than.
Father, help us, God, to surrender to you. You're a good and holy God. We praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.